Welcome to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to listen to more of America This Week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.
Welcome back. You're listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel 129. I'm joined, of course, by my colleague, Father Matt Malone, and we're talking today with Dr. Sean Casey from the State Department about their new Office on Religion and Global Affairs. Dr. Casey, we thought we could restart the conversation by focusing. You're speaking earlier about your outreach to people within the State Department, within the government, and kind of relaying to them the work you do. How do you also interface with religious groups and kind of how do you make yourself credible to them? You know, I imagine some people might be suspicious when the U.S. government is asking these sorts of questions about religion.
Well, the interesting thing was when I first came into the State Department, it was really an open question. Would anybody care?
Right.
And the amazing thing was hundreds of people cared. In my first 3 months in office, I counted over 400 groups who came to see me. And so there was just this tremendous demand. And many of these groups were not only domestic but also international. And the uniform response was they were finally happy somebody was here that they could come and talk to and interact with. And the really good news is that demand has not abated. So I don't have to leave my office. I mean, people are finding me. People are coming. Now, we do travel the world, and typically when we go visit, we work through the American Embassy or a consulate in a country. They often set up visits for us because they know the network of religious leaders and religious community and country. We also do some research stateside and make suggestions about people we would like to meet with. So I have to say, in the 2 years of our existence, just an amazing array of religious groups, small, medium, and tiny, I mean large, have come to find ways to tell us their story. A lot of what we do is simply to listen about what these groups are doing, where we might be able to collaborate with them. They oftentimes come in with criticisms of American policy. Sometimes they come in saying, you're doing a great job. Many times they come in and say, you're doing a great job, but over here, can you adjust your policy? So there's really been a vigorous global conversation from an amazing array of religious groups. We are constantly trying to find more. We're constantly trying to find more partners, not just sort of the usual suspects. So now, obviously, we do have people who continue to question the wisdom of this, and that actually is a good thing. I think as an American citizen, it's a good thing for Americans and international folk to constantly question us and say, well, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? So I welcome the exchange. I welcome the back and forth. And as you know, religious communities have opinions. They have
right.
deeply held opinions. And at least in my experience so far, they're not reticent in expressing,
right.
you know, whether they like us or whether they don't like us. And it's part of my job to be radically inclusive and to meet with any group or any individual that wants to come in and talk to us, as long as we can find a common time on our calendars to sit down and have the conversation. And we're smarter as a result of that. We learn, we process criticism. If people have policy suggestions, we try to direct those to the actual policymakers who are involved here at the State Department or at the White House, and we're eager to hear that feedback. So I think part of being a public servant in a democracy is sort of being willing to embrace whatever the conversation contains and where it takes you.
You know, I was recently traveling abroad myself, and I met a Foreign Service officer who came up to me and said, you know, I've been reading America magazine for about 25 years, and you can't believe I can't tell you how excited I was to see this article on its cover, because and this person was saying, you know, this is something that I've been saying for a long time in my work, how vitally important this issue is. And so I guess what I'm wondering is, how unique is this office in, you know, worldwide? Do you have peers in other foreign ministries throughout the world, people, other governments thinking about these things?
Well, that's a really interesting question, and the good news is more and more governments are thinking about either setting up or having launched an office that's analogous to ours. So I would say there's a small community of maybe 10 to 15 countries that either have launched similar offices or are in the process of doing it. And I meet with representatives of those groups quite often. In fact, I'm hoping at some point we can sort of have a compare and contrast meeting where we can talk about what are the lessons you've learned, what are your best practices, what have been your stupendous failures. So I really am deeply encouraged by this because I think there is a growing awareness that to fully understand the life and times of a country or a region, you have to understand the religious factor in that. Now, it doesn't explain everything. I mean, there are some people who think that religion, if you only get religion right, then you get everything else right. I don't believe that. Part of what we do is sort of right-size the role of religion, and sometimes it's peripheral. Absolutely, I think it's a very interesting moment now where there are other governments who have similar paths like the United States, where they have not always had the most sophisticated or comprehensive approach to understanding religion. And so they're watching what we do, and they come and they talk to us. And I believe that sort of pluralism, because these offices are not all going to look the same, I think that kind of diversity ultimately will be a good thing for us in the State Department as we converse with them and try to learn what has worked for them, and if there are lessons that we can learn as a result of their experience, that's going to be helpful to us. So yes, I think it's a very interesting moment, and there seems to be growing global interest in doing something at least analogous to what we're trying to do here.
Now, Dr. Casey, Secretary Kerry's article appeared in September, which was just a couple months after the Pope released his encyclical Laudato Si on the environment, which got a lot of attention, not just from the Catholic community, but the world community. I wonder on the issue of climate change, how much, one, that document has kind of been used by the U.S. government, but also, you know, how do you try to involve religious voices on this very urgent question?
Well, actually, last week we convened a two-day symposium here in Washington, D.C. on religion and climate change that our office ran, and we partnered with the Berkeley Center at Georgetown University, and I think I'm on solid ground to say, and this was an interreligious group of people, and I think I'm on solid ground to say that everyone believes that the encyclical was monumental, that people are reading this around the globe, in the Catholic Church, beyond the Catholic Church, and certainly beyond Christianity writ large, in other sort of either secular or other faith communities. And everyone, I think, has been galvanized by this, that the timing of the encyclical was fortuitous. As you know, later this month, there will be a convening in Paris for the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change. There are a lot of faith-based NGOs and religious groups that are going to Paris to push and to advocate for as strong an outcome at Paris as can possibly be had. So at this symposium, just person after person, panel after panel, made reference to the encyclical. And I think the most interesting piece, and I'm sure you've talked about this at great length on other shows, is Pope Francis's call to dialogue,
right,
that he believes all people of goodwill need to come together to talk about religion and violence, but also religion and climate change. And it's that sort of inclusive stance, that inclusive call that he has issued on a number of issues that makes his then content, I think, so powerful for people who don't necessarily share his particular religious and theological commitments.
And that is a consistent theme. You know, in his address to the U.S. Congress, I think he used the word 13 times.
Right.
It, really extraordinary. But I've heard from a number of friends and colleagues, other Christians, Jews, Muslims, have said to me, this was a very good example of the value that a religious voice can bring to a global conversation about a really important topic by, you know, kind of saying, you know, here from our tradition, from where we come from, is the framework that we can offer for understanding this. And
that's right.
For at the very least, I thought, you know, we got a good model of how a religious voice can engage in a thoughtful way.
That's right. And as you know too far better than I mean, one of the intriguing things is that the Pope takes these classical categories and tropes from Catholic social teaching. I mean, this is, you know, I have friends who say the Pope is a radical, and it's like, no, really. if you look at what he says, I mean, he's working within the tradition, and he's then assessing this global threat through that lens but he's in commending that approach as part of a dialogue where people come from their own particular philosophical, political, or theological orientations. And he doesn't surrender his unique Catholic identity in theology, but he presents it as a mechanism to engage in a wider pluralistic conversation. So it really is quite, I think, an interesting model of how a great religious leader moves from within an authentic tradition, but then invites other people to a wider dialogue. And I agree with you totally. I have friends of very, very different political, theological, philosophical orientations who find that invitation very, 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 very powerful.
Now, Dr. Casey, you're somebody who's worked in the Academy. You've written books. This is very different, it would seem, in terms of the work you do. Maybe you could talk a bit about personally what it's like working as somebody who's a scholar now working in the field of diplomacy.
Well, I'm having the time of my life, and as I joke with people, not too inaccurately, that, you know, as an academic, the largest thing I've built was a graduate seminar of 15 people that met once a week, and now I find myself working in the Secretary's Bureau in this vast, complicated, historic space in the U.S. Department of State. And so it is. I'm fairly advanced in my career to have this opportunity for a 3.5-4 year detour. It's just a remarkable gift. And but we've built a staff that is incredibly talented, that is incredibly diverse, has deep experience around the world, and we've built a team because we knew there's no one person who can master all the skills that need to be mastered when you approach lived religion and diplomacy. I ultimately will go back to the Academy. I'm a political appointee, so at midnight on January 20th, I turn into a pumpkin. January 20th, 2017, right. I go back to academia, and I hope I'll be a better teacher as a result of having been on the inside and having had the opportunity to build a new office. So I'm thankful for the gift. I'm thankful for the opportunity, and if you have a sense of humor, I mean, working here and going back to the Academy, it's just a wonderful path, a wonderful life. And so I'm thankful for the opportunity that Secretary Kerry has given me, and I like to think we're doing something important that can make a difference over time.
Indeed. And how can our listeners find out more about the work of the office?
You can go to state.gov. And we have a website there. So it's state.gov/RGA, and that stands for Religion and Global Affairs. And you'll find some information there about what we do.
Okay. Well, the article was Religion and Diplomacy. It was in the September 14th, 2015 issue of America. It was authored by Secretary of State John Kerry. And it's been a pleasure having on the show today Dr. Sean Casey, Director of the Office of Religion and Global Affairs at the State Department, to talk about it. Thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Father Matt, and thank you, Tim. I've enjoyed it a lot.
And please thank Secretary Kerry for giving us this piece.
I'll do it.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Best of luck. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Matt Maher and the glories of liturgical music. Stay with us. You're listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to hear the full show every week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.